Thank you, Sheila. Good morning, everyone. It's the second Sunday of Easter. So glad you're here in this house this morning. Pastor Tom is presiding for us this morning, and the sermon is brought by Pastor Chris Brunninger. Waiting to hear that later on, but you're going to help us finish off this prelude time by helping to sing a version of Psalm 133. And Miren que bueno, behold how pleasant. It's our assigned psalm for the day. So Psalm 133, you have a refrain to sing. And we do it, we just sing it like it is every time through, and by the time we get to the end, you'll know it so well. You'll be able to sing it in your sleep, and you may not appreciate that later on, but anyway, here goes. Miren que bueno.
Church, those who are present and those who are out there watching in. Hello, granddaughter Vivian. Yes, I love you the most, you know. It's good to see you. You know, we're struck by how beautiful this is. Verna and all her battalion of flower growers and planters, I want to thank you again for this beautiful gift that's left for us. It inspires our heart, and it creates within us, I think, a spirit of gratitude for being here in a unique way. And for those of you who wore your colorful t-shirts, thank you so much. This is as much colorful as I could get as far as a t-shirt. But if I was to wear a t-shirt, this is what it would look like. Now some of you are gonna need, rim shot. Some of you are gonna need that explained to you. Talk to me after the worship service. Okay, thank you very much. That's Pastor Tom humor. Okay, at any rate, it's good to be with you. Please stand as you are able. We gather here this morning in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our gathering hymn is Thine is the Glory.
Thank you.
a prayer that we sing to one another. Hymn of praise that we sing together. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ that is among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. And we pray for all those who exercise power, be it political or economic or military, that their wills would be bent towards peace and inclusion and equity. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And the people of God say, Amen. Amen. Please have a seat for the reading of Scripture.
The first lesson is Psalms 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would like to welcome Robert Kelly on his guitar, and he will be playing an arrangement of his of Jesus Loves Me. And I invite you to enter into that space of contemplation and meditation and enjoy this rendering.
Thank you, Robert. That was a beautiful rendition. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
You know, for some pastors, Easter is a glorious morning. But the Sunday after, second Sunday of Easter, can be a bit of a letdown. The energy can be lower, the pews less full, and as pastors, we were recovering from that Easter week crush. But I love the second Sunday of Easter. Why? Because the remnant shows up. You. Not those, you know, people who see their faith as a bi-yearly outing, but you, a remnant, who were here on Sunday morning at the early service. That is commendable. You are a remnant. You desire to be here. You want to grow in your faith. Fantastic. Wait a minute. Where's Pastor Jim? Just kidding, Jim. If you're watching, I hope it's in your pajamas, and I hope you have a blast at Augusta. I know it's a dream come true for you. God bless you, my friend. Today's reading comes from the final words of the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 20, verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And now these final words from John's Gospel. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You remember playing hide and seek? One person hides, or one person seeks and everybody else hides, hence the name hide and seek. You know the name. It's most fun for those who hide because you get to choose where you're going to hide and you get to keep your eyes open. The saddest player is the seeker. No one wants to be the seeker. They don't even get much of a title. In other games, the pivotal player gets a nice title, the center, the quarterback, the pitcher, the keeper. But in hide and seek, the one who searches is called it.
That's right.
Not Captain It, not CEO It, just it. No one wants to be it. In fact, the game starts by everybody calling out, "Not it." Whoever is it is going to have to be very patient. It will have to search long and hard, facing trickery and evasion, sometimes even cheating by those who want to deliberately evade you. Now, if some or a few hide too well, it will yell out the words that end the game. "Olly, olly, come free! Olly, olly, oxen free!" Nobody knows what that phrase means. Oxen free? But every hider knows what that means. That means that you can come home. You are safe. You will not be chastised or hurt or penalized or punished. You can stop hiding and you can come home. This theme of hide and seek runs throughout the Gospel of John. In the Gospel, we see Jesus seeking a Samaritan woman who is hiding in shame and offers her living water. In this Gospel, Jesus seeks a lame man who has been lame for years and decades, hiding in his discouragement, and he calls him out and offers to heal him. And of course, in the text we just read, Jesus seeks the hiding disciples. paralyzed by fear. Jesus comes into their midst and says, "Peace be with you." Not once, twice. Peace. Shalom. It's more than a greeting. It is a blessing that all would be well in spite of the fear and the disorientation that has gripped them. And then Jesus holds out his hands, shows them his sides, and then John writes this telling verse. The disciples, seeing Jesus with their own eyes, were exuberant. But Thomas wasn't in that room that day, and so he had not seen the risen Christ with his own eyes. He certainly did not share their exuberance. When the disciples approach Thomas and say, "We've seen the risen Lord," Thomas responds, in essence, "Yeah, right. Sure thing. No, really. And cows will jump over the moon. I'll believe it when I place my finger into his wounds." Don't let his sarcasm fool you. Thomas is afraid. Just like his fellow disciples were, he has no reference for the resurrection. No reference whatsoever. A dead Messiah is a failed Messiah. And what are the disciples fearing? Well, if they did that to Jesus, what are they likely going to do to us, his followers? And then Jesus reappears to the disciples 8 days later, and this time Thomas is there. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus the seeker makes a beeline to Thomas. "See my wounds, see my side. Go ahead, Thomas, put your hand in my wounds. Yep, it's me. Believe." Now, the game of hide and seek with God, we sometimes think that we are the seekers and that God is hiding. We need to find God. We seek for God. But the opposite is absolutely true, that in fact, we are the ones who are hiding, and God is the one who is always seeking us in our hiding places. And when he finds us, this good shepherd does not say, "If you're really sorry for what you did, then I'll let you in on life. If you improve your life just a little bit more, then maybe I'll bless you. If you have just a little bit more faith, then I'll like you. And if you search long and hard enough, then maybe, just maybe, I'll open the door." No. The good shepherd says, "My Father's love compels me to seek you because you are valuable to us. I never stop seeking you, and I will continue to seek you. I will seek you when you doubt. I will seek you when you are hiding. I will seek you when you run away. This I can do because I can do no less. So great is the Father's joy when you are found." That's the Jesus that John wants us to know and to believe. Listen again to John's concluding words, the key to his gospel, the reason why he wrote it. "These signs were written down so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing have real and eternal life the way he personally revealed it." What is the biggest question we face? Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to live? What career will I have? What will retirement look like? Will the Seahawks have a winning season? Will this sermon go on too long? Now, the biggest question we face is, who is this Jesus? Is Jesus the Jesus of my imagination, a wish fulfillment that I dream up to compensate for transcendent longings? That's what Freud and Marx and so many of his followers taught. Is Jesus the Jesus of my experience, a name I give to a mystical or ecstatic experience? Is Jesus another teacher of great thoughts, worthy of intellectual emulation, but certainly not transformation in worship? Like many of you, I came to believe in Jesus because I found in him the light of life, life abundant, living water. Jesus first won my respect 44 years ago, and then he won my faith, and since then I have found him to be utterly trustworthy. From college to marriage to seminary to ministry to retirement, I have found a Jesus who will not let me down. Churches may let you down. Christians may let you down. Friends may let you down. Partners may let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. And my remnant friends, this is the good news. Jesus never stops seeking us, finding us, winning us over, and keeping us going as believers. And all you really need to do is heed the cry of the seeker who says to us, "Ollie, Ollie, all come in free. This time for hiding is over. You can stop hiding. You can come home. You will not be chastised, punished, or penalized. You can come home now. Just come home, kid. Come home into the love and the joy of your God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing our hymn of the day, "We Walk by Faith."
Each petition ends with a line, "Trusting in the promise of new life," and our response is, we'll sing, "Turn it over to Jesus." We sing it first before the petitions, yes.
Invites us to see the wounded hands and feet of the risen one. As we recognize God's love for us all, let us pray for the whole people of God according to their needs. As Jesus entered the locked room to renew his disciples' faith, enter our hearts and move us to increased faith. Faith in the possibility of resurrection. A resurrection of hope, of love for all people of the world, a resurrection of grace that forgives and reconciles one to another. Give us strength in the face of death, sensing God's love and God's tears at our loss, trusting in the promise of new life. Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Be with your church throughout the world so that its mission of love and grace may know no boundaries. Let us trust the leading of the Spirit as we go forth to spread joy and hope. We are bound to each other by the Spirit of God. So let us not shy away from standing up for those abandoned by society. Let us speak a word of welcome and inclusion to homeless or poor or transgender folk, often labeled the other and excluded from community. Guide us to make your love real, trusting in the promise of new life." Of the earth. Just as God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus said, "So I send you." Wherever nations are at war and people are divided, help us bring true justice and reconciliation. Guide our hearts to speak out for innocent victims of war, for safety of aid workers and doctors doing your work of mercy in the most difficult places. Give leaders the courage to repent from destructive policies that favor the powerful and dare to bring peace, trusting in the promise of new life. Visit and comfort the sick and suffering. Heal and strengthen those challenged by illness of body, mind, or spirit. Support those others known to us and whom we now name in our hearts. Trusting in the promise of new life. Today, entrusting them to your care and grace. In the name of the risen one who sends us out in love. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
There's some very creative wear you have, so wander around and share the peace of the Lord with one another.
Good morning. Thank you for those beautiful greetings of peace.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here this morning, and thank you, Pastor Chris and Pastor Tom, for being with us. A few announcements this morning. We're going to start with birthdays. Today is Jamie Huden's birthday, and Jamie's with us. Good morning, Jamie. Great way to start your birthday. Very sweet. Thank you. Let's see. So this weekend, Friday evening, we had 12 high school kids stayed here for the night. We went up to Mario's Pizza and Oak Bowl in Oak Harbor. We bowled from about 9:30 to 11, and then we went to the skate deck until 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then we swung through McDonald's on our way back down to the church. We had an epic Nerf battle in the gym, so if you find any darts anywhere, those can go back to my office. And then we talked about Jesus, and we talked about how Trinity is a place where we hope everybody can come and find a little Jesus and leave with a little Jesus. And we sent the kids out with little Jesus. So all around the building, there are about 100 little Jesus, and I think we have a picture of a little Jesus even. And you might find these as you wander around the building this morning. And if you find one, please feel free to take home a little Jesus with you into your week. And then what else? We have upcoming is middle school and high school youth groups. Our middle school retreat, we're going to First Lutheran Church in Richmond Beach. So this is for 6th to 8th graders, and we need to be signed up by next Sunday. And then middle school and high school youth groups continue to meet. Middle school meets on Sunday mornings and high school meets on Wednesday evenings. And let's see, Carl has an announcement about an upcoming concert.
David Roth is coming to town. How about that? On the 17th, Wednesday the 17th, 7 o'clock right here, there he is up there. David's a wonderful singer, songwriter. He has been all over the world, and he's been out to outer space with his music, believe it or not. Well, not him, but his music has. And he's coming back here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday the 17th, so bring your friends. You don't need any invitations except this one, and you don't need reservations. Just show up and come and help David celebrate, and hopefully we'll have a little surprise song for David at the end of the concert that he doesn't know about yet. So come and help me sing that, okay?
Okay. Okay, now it's my turn. I have a few announcements today. On Saturday, this Saturday at 1, we have a memorial for Ada Goodwin. We are looking for cookies to be baked. So if you are a baker and you love to bake cookies, if you could bake some cookies for the reception, that'd be fabulous. And we also are looking for two hostesses that can kind of help put stuff out. It's kind of like serving coffee after church. And there's a sign up on the table. if you are available, you could sign up, that'd be great, or just talk to Robin or I, okay? And then, I haven't done this in a while. Wait. Is that right? Yeah, it's April. Yeah, okay. The April looks pretty good for volunteers. The last weekend, it looks like we're just going to wander through the wilderness because there really isn't anybody signed up yet. So if you could be a leader for us, that would be fabulous. Sign-ups are out there. We have no ushers, so that would be fabulous. And I also put May schedules out just in case. That was why we didn't get very many volunteers for April, is because we didn't get it out soon enough. So I probably should have already had May out maybe last month. But it is out, so please look at May. A lot of you are really good planners, and so that would be great if you could do that. Today was T-shirt Sunday, and I see a lot of you have, you know, this beautiful T-shirt on. Right? Yeah, there you go. There you go. We still have some of these T-shirts. If you don't have one of these and you've always wanted a school bus yellow T-shirt, they are in the gym, and they are on the wall right as you walk in on the left. And I'm not really sure how much we were supposed to sell them for. You know, I couldn't remember. So I just put this little cup out there, and if you feel like putting a few pennies in, that'd be fine. And there are small, medium, and larges left. So they're out on the table. Feel free to take them for yourself, your grandkids, your neighbors, anybody that you might want to look so nice as you do. All right, and then the last one, and this one's exciting. This is a new hat. This is Christy Edsel. Thank you, Christy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The April luncheon is April 18th at noon. That's the third Thursday. And Julie Humling, who's one of our volunteers in the office, she volunteers on Thursdays. She did research. She was really busy Thursday, so she did some research on the computer for me to figure out what maybe a theme would be. And she found all kinds of them. And we found that this month is National Food Month. So in celebration of National Food Month, we're going to do international food. So, you know, ooh la la, I don't know, Espanol, I don't know, anything that just, you know, sounds fabulous, do that. There's a sign up out in the narthex also for that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lana. Always entertaining. This morning after worship, head on down the hall to the fireside room at 9:30 for Sunday Forum. This week's speakers are from the Woodby Camino Land Trust. So here to speak about questions of how each of us can make a difference in our desire to be good stewards of God's beautiful creation. And then just one more thank you for this incredible garden organized by Verna Lawson, but you can see in the announcements the list of people that have contributed. So thank you to everybody who helped to make this happen. And if you have plants that you contributed to the garden that you would like back, they will be available to pick up after 2:00 this afternoon, just outside the doors here, between here and the courtyard fence. All right, any other announcements this morning? Okay, then we continue our worship with the Lord's Prayer in song, so I invite you to stand.
Save our time of fire.
And now as you leave this place of worship to go out into the world to your places of ministry, go knowing that God's intention is to work through you, and the name of Jesus is powerful for you in any given moment. So I give thanks for that calling that you have in your heart and for how you will be blessed in your service. Receive the benediction, and now may the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
On our wait, Lana.
Okay, I forgot. All right. So, right after service, anybody that has t-shirts on, we're going to take a picture. Because we couldn't find a picture of t-shirt day. So, I know we've got one somewhere because we've had these before. So, if you have a t-shirt on, no matter what it is, please join us up on the steps.
Cancel.
Thank
right
you,
here.
Pastor.
It's
yep,
cancel.
Yep, because we're going to have a picture taken right away before you go and get all messy from chocolate. Thank you. Sorry.
Go and be, serve the Lord.
But before you do that,
and sing.
Sin is sending you. Oh my goodness. Okay. The Spirit sends us forth to eat chocolate and wear t-shirts and all those things, but first, the Spirit sends us forth to serve. It's a slightly different version of that hymn that we have in our hymnal. And so just jump in and sing with us.